Love is our life. And this is the first sentence from Swedenborg's book, Divine Love and Wisdom. And this book is considered the metaphysics of his writings, where he talks about the nature of God, creation, and the influence that divine love and wisdom is substance and form. In the opening paragraph, Swedenborg suggests that love does exist, but what does it actually mean? And that very few of us actually really know or possess an inkling of what love truly is. And even upon reflection, it's impossible for most of us to bring to mind the precise meaning and understanding of love. Swedenborg writes, "For most of us, the existence of love is a given, but the nature of love is a mystery. And to some, love may be void of meaning. At times, love can crush us." Or the sensory perception of love from the outside world affects us in a profound way. And love can be impersonal, or it'll be personal or impersonal. We can love someone, or we love something. We love our children, we love our pets. We love our neighbor, we love our iPods, we love our Blackberries, we love our video games, and we love our iPhones. And love is so common a term that hardly anyone knows what love is. We can be blinded by love. And there's something about love that we cannot put into words, but it's something that all of us feel and sense from higher angels, from God. There are times in our life when the profound sense of love overwhelms us. And according to Swedenborg, love is us. And love is identical with our individual life. It's not just an important part of life. Love is life. We are spiritual beings who are the recipients of that love. We are vessels. We're spiritual vessels of divine love and wisdom. And divine love and wisdom are part of creation that is continually unfolding, always, each day. Whatever poem we read, whatever song we sing, whatever path we walk, whosoever eyes we look into each day, divine love and wisdom unfold, provide greater imagination, new meaning, and creativity. I read a book by Dr. Stuart Brown, and Dr. Brown founded the National Institute for Play. And his book is entitled Play, How It Shapes the Brain, Opens the Imagination, and invigorates the soul. Now, the other day, I was driving down California Street, and I'm going to act this out because there's only one way to do this. And I see a gentleman, and he's going like this down California Street. And he had the greatest grace and movement, and I thought, what a nut. What a nut. How could he do that? I'd worked 12 hours, I was really tired, everything was really serious, and he was dressed a little crazy, so it wasn't just that he was moving with complete abandon. But I thought about that, was several weeks ago, and I've thought about that every day since. And I thought it was odd then that I found this book. Because Dr. Brown developed a science of play. That play teaches us how to transform our world. And he says, and we know this, but we don't do it, that play, we need time for pleasurable, purposeless activity. Now, purposeless activity is important. I mean, everything has a purpose, but sometimes our exercise becomes a purpose. We want to look good. Our reading, our writing can become a purpose. And what he's talking about is that joy-filled, those joy-filled moments, that joy be present to us in each and every thing, in each and every moment. His work, he studied animals. And he has beautiful pictures on the website of polar bears playing with sled dogs, of dogs playing with other dogs, and how that play and watching animals play actually makes people feel better, and that we feel more grounded and we feel more pleasurable. And Jane Goodall is an example of someone that watched gorillas and chimpanzees that she has studied throughout her entire life. And she writes how studying their behavior and their ability to play has transformed her life. So as we become adults, we don't often take time to play, and we juggle work, we juggle many things, and like the man that was dancing down California Street, I want to reclaim my free abandon. And play is not trivial. He has proven it's a biological process as integral to our health, as sleep, and as nutrition. Our ability to play throughout life is the single most important factor that brings us closer to the divine, to success and happiness. And he found that through his studies that the cerebellum, which they always thought the cerebellum was where all activity occurred, that actually any activity of joy and pleasure and play in the brain is really multidimensional, and it affects all aspects of the brain and all aspects of the body. So it's not just that we have to be active. I mean, just sitting reading is a purposeless activity, something that we do for joy. Now, as I walked out the door, I happen to have, as someone who's a body worker, I have Swedenborg's book, a whole book about the cerebellum. And I just want to read a bit of what he writes. He talks about how life in the cerebellum, life originates in the cerebellum, especially our spiritual life. It animates the body in the same order in which it is formed, and it gives us great energy and purpose. It's the thought and affection that are exercised in the cells of the brain, and according to the quality of this exercise is the quality of the animation and joy that is brought into the body. So this is hundreds of years ago. And Swedenborg was ahead of his time in so many avenues. And it's interesting how his anatomical discoveries and the spiritual nature of those anatomical discoveries were always speaking to him. And in his writings, how the higher angels were guiding him. to develop this theology that is creative and unfolding and so much a part of who we are in the world and who much and how much a part of we are with God and God with us in the world. Our goal in life and what we want more than anything is to be closer to the divine. We seek it. We question that. And we look for this activity to remove us from the angst of our work day. We yearn for joy. We yearn for love. And we learn to feel a part of something that is whole. We yearn to be loved, and we yearn to love one another as we are, and to love one another as a greater part of that whole. Love, according to Swedenborg, love by its very nature is an activity. It's an action. It's something that we must do. And wisdom cannot exist unless it is employed with love, and it too is something that we must do. And it is the doing and the realization of our knowing and our receiving that ultimately is our awakening. The inner message of Scripture. There's so much to the Bible, and there's so much to so many of the spiritual truths and pearls of different world religions. But ultimately, it boils down to that one pearl of truth, which is love. And these two cosmic forces for Swedenborg are very fundamental to all of the theology of this church. That those cosmic forces of divine love and wisdom are constantly moving through the world and are playful and creative. And throughout life, when we become scattered and misguided, our thoughts, our intentions, our family and our friends and all of the ways in which we are taken away from the present moment, we can draw upon God as that creative spirit to remember that inside, that truth is what can ground us and keep us centered and present. When Swedenborg speaks of love, he speaks of values. He speaks of the ways that we discern our love and our wisdom, and how the two together work as a certain volition. Our values are in action. The ways that we bring these values into the world are the ways in which we work and the ways in which we respect one another. And these are our uses. It's not what we do. And it's not what we do for our work or how we bring our work into the world, but it's really how we embody and how we creatively endeavor to lead and to be joyful and to be playful and to live life. Swedenborg considers that our spiritual life is formed through this activity of the world. And as we are here to live a life and discover through living all that is spiritual and loving, that all things come from God, and we're called to keep it simple. So in an arcana of deep writing, and in many, many writings that Swedenborg has written, we're called to keep it simple. Volumes and volumes and volumes of writing that come down to a simple truth. That God is love and life itself. That love is all there is. That we live our life from this source and from this center so that we may be playful and peaceful and move through life in an unbounded, exuberant way. That we may find joyful abandon. That we may learn from others and others from us and somehow playfully come into our own wholeness. That we may move closer day by day toward the many undiscovered and uncensored ways that we can be in this world. That we can be true. That we cannot doubt. That we can be confident with just who we are. We don't have to be anyone else. We don't have to be better. We only have to be who we are in truth and in love. Amen.